Hello.
Podcast Network Asia.
You know what they say about money? It's like an amplifier. Whatever you have in your heart, it expands the more money you have. It came to a point where I made really, really aggressive investments because I felt like in my pride, I felt that I had like a Midas touch. Now everything I turned to gold. I didn't realize it, but I was already $100,000 in debt, 5 million pesos.
Whoa!
My desire was different. Yeah, we didn't have much growing up too. So I told myself, I'm going to marry rich. I'm not going to make money for myself.
That's one way to go about it.
Yeah, all not.
If you don't have a good job, right? If you don't have a relationship, right? If you don't have a lot of hobbies, just start studying God's word. And Satan will give you the rest. Because he wants to do whatever he can to take you away from the word.
Doritos, hi, welcome. This is the Narrow Door Podcast. We're so glad to see you, whether you're catching us on YouTube or Spotify. My name is Sam O. Tina Ryan, best co-host ever. Instructor Aaron Russo is from Shinshenji Church of Jesus. And today we have a friend of mine who I haven't seen in a really long time. And he's here because we recently got back in touch together, and in our short interaction of just, you know, hi, hello, how you been? We, you know, started talking about his faith journey. Anyway, he used to be an entrepreneur. I think he still is maybe, but he's kind of taken on a slightly different angle to all that. He's here to tell us all about it and his faith journey and all that good stuff. Migo Ibanez is here. Hi, Migo.
Hey. Thanks for having me, Sam.
Thanks for being here. Migo, look at Tina. Look, you have like hearts in your eyes. Seriously?
Because Kobe's chewing on my hand. So I'm like, hi, Migo. My dog is currently chewing on my hand.
Migo, by the way, is also the founder of a podcast called Ignite Podcast.
When we started it, parang we were just three people hosting, rotating it. But it was born out of the community we developed because we have a Facebook group of over 300,000 entrepreneurs. And we decided to create a podcast for the people there that are part of the group. And so, syempre, nung simula, we would do it like weekly. And we realized that a lot of people that were part of the community could actually host the podcast. So we kind of did like a longer rotation for the hosts.
Okay, so Ignite Podcast, it is dedicated to honing the minds of Christ-like entrepreneurs. That is your tagline.
It's not like the topics, we rotate them. It's not all about like parang religious or faith-related stuff, but we try to kind of intertwine faith with every single topic that we have.
Wow. Okay, very interesting. So let's go back to the beginning, Migo. I mean, you know, we
like Genesis or
Sam sent me this video of this gentleman in a podium trying to read a speech, and he couldn't read the word beginning. Have you guys seen that?
No, I haven't seen that.
Oh, I'm gonna send it to you after instructor.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Hilarious. Mm-hmm. But yes, to the beginning, which God, I can actually say. Because Migo and I, okay, it's an interesting friendship because Migo and I really only met one time. And it was very brief. From what I recall, Migo, it was at a mall. We were at a mall, right?
It was in Gateway.
Yes. Like, were we introduced to each other? Or like, how did that happen?
I remember it very clearly. I was in like junior year college that time, and we had to give out like we had to ask people to answer the questionnaires that we had for our thesis. And since I know you from radio, I saw you like walking towards where I was positioned with my thesis mate. I was like, isn't that Samo? I was like, it would be so cool to have Samo actually answer our questionnaire. And so we talked to you and you were very accommodating. You were so kind. And I was so surprised that you were like chill to answer the questionnaire because it was a pretty long questionnaire. And after that, I think we got your contact because you signed the you answered the questionnaire, and I added you up on Facebook. Mm-hmm. You accepted, and then we started having this back and forth discussion about faith, like every 3 to 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's that. And here we are now. Yeah.
Gosh, you know, and life is so funny because when that happened, who knew that 8-10 years down the line, we were going to be on this podcast talking about faith, you know?
Crazy.
So college, I know that you jumped right into like doing business right after you graduated, and I'm assuming things were going very well for you.
Mm-hmm. They were. Because I come from a simple family. And so parang my parents, who I love so much, they were able to provide everything they we needed as children, pero everything we wanted, we had to find a way to earn it ourselves. And so as a college student, I really got into a lot of rackets and gimmicks just to try to make an extra buck. And that started my desire to make a lot of money, because I realized at a young age, if you actually get into side projects, sell stuff, you could actually make some money. When I was first grade, my parents always fought about money. And so when I was a kid, I made a commitment na I want to be really, really rich. Kasi I don't ever want to see my parents fighting again. And so that seed was planted in my mind, and then it carried over till my college days. And so that really started yung whole fervorko for making money. And so as a college student, I was really hardworking. After school, I would try to sell stuff. I would try to get involved with any racket or any project I could, until I got involved with a network marketing company where I was able to really make things happen. And so by the time I was 21 years old, this is fresh from college, I was already making parang six-figure income. And so and parang praise God, diba? So parang finally, like, I felt like, wow, this is actually good. And so I never had the car nung college ako, so I was able to buy a car. I love traveling. I was able to travel a lot during that time. And basically, I experienced another level of life that was never open to me just because I had more finances when I was 21. And so that continued. Pero you know what they say about money? It's like an amplifier. Whatever you have in your heart, it expands the more money you have. So if you have good intentions in your heart, more money you have, the more good you can do with the money. But if you have ill intentions with your heart, if you have a lot of money, you could do a lot of bad things with the money. And unfortunately, at that time, there was just so much angst still within me to prove myself and to want to make a name for myself, to have that, you know, to be the youngest multimillionaire in the Philippines and all that jazz. So
title right now? I mean, who, how young, I don't even how know. Much money?
I don't even know. But before, like, I would always like read up on like Forbes Asia and try to compare myself to all of these people. And so, you know, like parang the cliche Wolf of Wall Street kind of mindset. And then it came to a point where I made really, really aggressive investments, because I felt like in my pride, I felt that I had like a Midas touch. Now everything I dived, everything
I turned to gold.
And so one thing led to another, until finally at the age of parang, I think it was 24, 25, I didn't realize it, but I was already $100,000 in debt, 5 million pesos.
Whoa! Instructor Aaron, can you relate to any of this stuff right now? Because I asked this in the last couple of episodes.
Yeah.
You were talking about how money was a priority for you, not because you wanted to be rolling in it, but because it was something that was so scarce in your life when you were young, and you just did not want to worry about it.
And you wanted to retire early.
Yeah.
That's very similar. Like when I'm listening, I think it's could be common for quite a few people that grew up in that kind of a situation. You know, you can go one of two ways. Either you go into despair where you don't ever think that, you know, you're never going to be able to be anything successful, or you start going kind of gung-ho. And that's what I did as well, really just desiring to be, you know, wealthy enough to where I could take care of my family most of all, you know, and never have to worry about it. Yeah, never have to stress about it or anything like that. But I just found it was, there's never enough. No matter what you do, there's always going to be the next level you can move up. There's the bigger car that you want, the nicer house. Like, it's just, it was, you know, it's a never ending process when you get into it for the, it's almost like never the right reason. I mean, it just almost is the right reason. You know, it's like, you want to start out that way. You do. And I totally understand what he was saying. When you have, like, if you have good intentions, you know, and you're a good person, then you really do want to do, you know, good with your money. And it's almost impossible to do that all the time now. Like, I think it was Elon Musk, like, just recently, there was a quote that said, one of the hardest things for him to do is to give away money, because not because it's hard to give away money, but because what happens when he does, what they use that money for. Oh. And it really upsets him that, you know, this money could be used for, like, really, as you mentioned, you know, evil purposes, right? You know, and things like that. But no, I'm listening to a story, and it's, yeah, I mean, it's a lot of the same. And if you're not careful, it's real easy to just, you know, have it boom, and it's just gone.
Yeah.
Especially getting into stock markets or things of that nature. If you're not, you know, just doing the long haul, right? You know, you're doing the crazy investments like you're talking about. Yeah.
So, because it sounds to me like it started from a very noble, if you will, a noble place of, like, sure, I don't want to see my parents fighting over money. Like, I don't ever want to see that. So the intentions were so good, but then eventually it kind of switched over to something else. Like, looking back now, do you see where that started happening and why?
Yeah. I feel like in general, having, like, that excess margin of money, it leaves room for your, like, creativity to kind of make up, like, justifications in your head as to why you want to spend that money, why you want to make more aggressive investments. And I really do think that in a certain way, like, your intentions were noble when I started, but it's just that, you know, like, if there's just so much evil and sin in your heart and you haven't really met Jesus yet, that's the natural path you tend to go anyway. So that's how it, you know, barang all happened for me. And I really agree with what instructor Aaron said, because I remember this quote by Charles Spurgeon. He said, if you're not satisfied with what you have now, even if it was doubled or tripled, you will still not be satisfied.
Too true. Yeah.
Yeah. How funny that this whole, you know, the root of it, like, as you've mentioned earlier, Migo, you seeing your parents fight over money. My desire was different. Yeah, we didn't have much growing up too. So I told myself, I'm going to marry rich. I'm not going to make money for myself.
That's one way to go about it.
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody else. We were having a conversation. I was like, you know, one of the reasons why money works in our world is because people want to be better than others. Yeah. So just think about this for a second. Like, it's the reason why we have exclusive clubs that you have to pay thousands of dollars to be a part of. It's a reason why you have, you know, certain like VIP and then even VVIP, which is just starts, it becomes absurd. You know what I mean? Like, oh no, yeah, I'm a very, very, very important. Right? You know, and it's because people do, they want something that someone else can't have. And then if you have the money, you can do that. I mean, there's things in this world right now that most of us don't even know exist, because it's not in our realm of even reality of being a part of that. I mean, there are things in this world that for your house, for your car, there are things that are so incredible, so amazing that people pay, you know, millions of dollars for. And the average person will just never even know those things exist.
Right.
But as you get into that kind of understanding, you know, people want to be better. And that's why money and things of this actually work, because if nobody had that desire, then, you know, everybody would have that barter system, if you will. Everybody would be equal and, you know, give and take style of thing. But it's just that one of those things. People like to be in a higher position. They like to be in a stronger position. You know, they have this desire to not everybody be the same. You know, you have to be greater in some way or another. And I think a lot of this goes back to, you know, what we've kind of been hinting on, a lot of it goes back to, you know, biblical means. It goes back to, because there is that spirit within the world, you know, which is referred to as that worldly spirit or the spirit of Satan, things like that. So But yeah, that's going, we'll get into that. I know in a little while, but that's that. I think that's a lot of what it is, because money itself has no real value. I mean, if you think about it, money is, what is it? You know what I mean? Really, what is it? Who gives it value? It's only humans that give it value, right? If all the humans disappeared off the face of the earth, it's not like the animals are going to be lining up to go to our banks. I mean, it's just, they don't care, right? They don't care about gold or jewels or things like that. So it's only man that gives it value. If it wasn't for us giving it value, it wouldn't have any value. You know, diamonds themselves, they're the reason that they're so valuable is because they're rare, apparently, but they're not really, right? They just hold on to them and make them worth it. So it's demand, you know, supply and demand. That's how all stock markets work to begin with anyway, right? When you're, you know, all those types
that
of
things. That is not what I want to hear when I get an engagement ring. So, right? I'm just putting it out there, okay? Don't give me the spiel.
Okay. No, here's the secret. Get the 0.9 carat instead of the 1 carat, right? And then this is like a lot less. Can't even tell the difference.
Okay, back to Migo's story. So you're doing really well. You're investing aggressively and you find yourself with a debt
$100,000,
$5 million pesos, right?
Yeah.
Does this happen because like your investments didn't work out very well? Is that what happens?
That's exactly what happened. And like, just to piggyback off what Instructor Aaron said, it's kind of like, yun nga, we give value to money. And once we reach a certain status or lifestyle, we feel like we don't ever want to go down again. And so when business starts to go down or you start to make the wrong investments, what happens is sometimes you try to manipulate your way through it, or you try to parang keep yourself in denial. And you just keep on going, hoping that things will eventually get better because this stock is going to rise or this big break is going to happen in your business.
Right.
So you keep on putting your hopes on something that's not even sure that's going to happen. And so that was exactly what happened to me. So I blindfolded myself and I just had faith in a wrong way. And I just kept on going, aggressively investing, hoping that this next investment of mine was going to make everything better. And to be completely transparent, like I pulled up some investments for my friends that time, telling them, hey, you know, just invest in me. I have all of these successful investments made. I've made this much amount of money for this friend, that friend, and this other friend. And so I promise I'll give you this much amount of money back. Just give you the money for me to invest, and I promise I'll make it back. And it was like, that was such a humbling process, because when I got into that debt, I really had to talk to these people face to face.
Wow.
Who trusted me and tell them that, hey, this is all of the investments went south, and this is how long it's going to take me to pay you back realistically. And so that was, we can get into that later, but it was part of God's
pruning. At least you did.
I know,
yeah,
right?
At least you know, that's a big thing, right? That just shows your heart right there. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I owe it to one of my spiritual mentors during that time, who mentored me through the debt, and it kind of made me feel better, because sabi niya, when he was 28, 29 years old, he was actually in 500 million pesos in debt.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
What does one have to do to get into that kind of debt?
Well, he's like a well-known businessman. So if I say what his business is, you guys are going to know it for sure.
Try us. Is that the devil, Instructor Aaron, making us do that?
If you want to boil it down, I mean, really, like, I know maybe a lot of people may not want to, you know, believe that or hear that. But I mean, if you think about it, it's not... Money itself is basically in control of the world. I mean, it really, truly is. You know, the people that have the money, the golden rule, right, is you know, in religion, is treat others as you treat them. But the golden rule in reality is, he who has the gold makes the rules, right? That's just the way that it is. And I mean, you can even see an example of this as to what just even happened at the Oscars a couple of days ago, right? Or, you know, whatever.
Oh my gosh, that was crazy. Yeah.
It was a shock. It's just because they live in a different world. And it's not just him. It's in a lot of situations like that. They get away with so many different things because of money, because of power and authority. So you get back to the basics of it. You know, God is not, God doesn't need money. I mean, obviously, right? God is the creator of all things. He doesn't need money. And money has what's been in control of this world for thousands of years. And that's because God is not in control of this world right now. It's the evil that's been in control of this world for a long period of time, right? That's why it says you cannot be friends with the world because you become an enemy of God, right? Jesus says he overcomes the world, right? Why does he have to overcome the world if God's in control? So we think about these things and you realize what is in control is something that is not really related to God. That's why Jesus talks against money. Not saying that money itself is evil, but he says you cannot serve both God and money, right? In Luke chapter 16. And then the Pharisees, they sneer at him because they love money. And then he says, you know, and you have the verse, of course, the famous one, the love of money is the root of all evil, right? The love of money, not money itself. And we've talked about that. But because that's such an easy thing for Satan to use when they talk about greed or selfishness. And that to me, if you boil down like every single problem in the world, I know this may be really simplistic, but if you boil down almost every major problem in the world, even minor ones, it comes, you know, with greed and selfishness. I mean, if you think about it, somebody cuts you off on the freeway. It happens a lot, right? Either they're being greedy. I deserve to be in front of you. I don't care if it's going to harm you, right? Or they're being selfish in a way where they don't even think about anyone else around them. Their world is their world and nothing else really matters. And then you can go large scale with like pollution in the world. You know, the companies themselves, they don't have to make as many products as they do, but they do so to decrease, you know, the bottom line and increase, you know, profits. So we're over manufacturing. We're, you know, just polluting like you couldn't believe, all because of, you know, greed. And when God does, you know, rule the world, which he will, it's not going to be money that rules the world. It's going to be God's word. It'll be God's spirit and God's word. And the ones that have the most word of God, the ones that have the most knowledge of God, they will be the ones that are in, you know, control of God's kingdom, if you will. And money's not going to, you know, really, if you're connected with God, if God is actually here and everything is created perfect, where does money fit in? You know, really, if we are living like, you know, you're living eternal life with God in heaven, you know, people think about gold gates and things like that, but all that is, it's all spiritual, all has figurative meaning. You know, gold in the Bible, silver, jewels, it's all representing God's word, right? The most precious thing in the universe, right? Invaluable, right? Invaluable.
So you got a taste of Road to Revelation right there, which we're going to do after this episode. Migo, it sounds to me like while you were running after the money and making all these investments and living the life, you had a spiritual mentorship. So you had a faith life that was ongoing already. When was the moment where you were just like, I think this is my rock bottom. This isn't going to go away. Like, oh my gosh, like I really need God to help me out of this hole that I dug for myself.
Yeah. Siguro, just to clarify, I met my spiritual mentor like around 26, 27 years old. And I met him because I'd start going to church more often at this time. And I was really looking for someone who could mentor me, who had experience with business and debt at the same time.
Because of the debt that you got yourself into.
It was already because of the debt. Right. But before that, I did not have any spiritual mentor. I just had like business mentors. But even like the business mentors that I had started with at that time, my greed had gone to a level where I felt like I didn't need their advice anymore. And so that's when I went on a rampage with all of these aggressive investments when I was like 23, 24, 25. I do even recall, because when I was like, making good income at 21, 22, finally, like for the first time, because I never had a car back in college, I finally was able to buy one of the cars that I really wanted. But I remember distinctly, like, I was driving home coming from a business meeting with that car, like, after like parang one, just like 6 months to 12 months of driving it. And I distinctly recall it was like late night after a business meeting. It was like around 11 p.m. But in the car by myself, I didn't know why at that time, but I suddenly started crying. And I was crying because I thought being able to finally buy the car of my dreams would make me feel satisfied. But I was wondering, how come I don't feel any form of satisfaction? Oh. And so because of that, like, parang void in my heart, maybe that's also what started like the rampage of investments. Because yun nga, you don't know when what the next level is, and you just keep on wanting more with hopes that having more is going to make you more satisfied, but really it's not.
Right. You're just filling the void and filling the void.
Yeah.
So tell us about that rock bottom moment where, you know, was it that moment where you had to talk to your friends face to face and tell them like, hey, guess what?
Like, yeah, parang it was a season, and parang I'd been going like with my mentor, with my business mentor to a church he brought me to during that time. It was a Christian church, and it was my parang the first time that he brought me to a Christian church. You know, I just really liked the learning, so I kept on going even if he didn't bring me anymore. Pero seeds were being planted kasi God's word, I mean, like, you know, I was hearing God's word, and parang so I knew that I was in the wrong path na when I was making those very aggressive investments, because I would go to a Christian church every Sunday. And then finally, it came to a point where I really felt that God was trying to knock on my door and say, stop it with the aggressive investments, or I'm going to have to tear down the roof to get your attention. And so, of course, I didn't listen. And I just kept on doing those aggressive investments until finally I felt like God slowly stripped away everything from me. So, of course, the debt was there. Yung business, my main business, which was where I got most of my income during that time, was the network marketing business. It took a really big dip. I remember during that time, the relationship I had, my ex-girlfriend that time broke up with me. Tapos I remember during that time the car, which was like the physical form of my idol, which was my greed, I got into a really bad accident which almost cost my life.
Whoa.
My car was super total. Let me try to see if I can get a picture here.
Wow. Oh,
just to show
gosh.
You guys in front of the screen.
You were getting it from all sides.
Yeah, during this time, like, I was driving home pretty tipsy and sleepy already.
Ooh, okay.
This is the car. I don't know if you guys can see.
Oh my goodness. Wow. It looks like crumpled aluminum paper that's black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Was that a Genesis? Is that
what that was? No. It's a, I know, Lancer UX.
Such a dude thing. Yeah. Right?
I saw the symbol on the front. I was looking at the symbol on the front. Yeah.
That's a good eye.
It's a nice car.
Wait, were you hospitalized at all? Like,
were you hurt?
So yeah. the airbags popped out.
Yeah.
That was my seatbelt ripped off. And parang surprisingly, like I thought I was dead, but then like when I woke up, I saw the smoke and everything. I was like, this doesn't look like heaven. It's still the Philippines. And so I tried to go out of the car, and then parang I could still walk, but my whole body was bruised. Like my whole leg was like blackish, purplish from like the bruising that happened. But then I went to the hospital like a day after just to have myself checked, because I could function after. And praise God, like there was no like major injury whatsoever.
Oh wow.
But, I mean, if you're gonna buy, like, that's the little pet peeve that I have when it comes again with money and everything.
Yeah.
That car could have saved your life. I mean, the way that they build it, right? I mean, it's a very well-made car. You can tell by the way the car looks, even by the way it crumbled. You know, by the way that it had the crumple zones and things like that, the airbags, all of those things. That's what saves people's lives, you know? And it's sad that there's a lot of things in this world that people can't afford simply because they don't have the money, yet it can save their life. And that's the thing that I think that upsets me the most about money. And I know that's probably going to rub some people the wrong way, because, you know, there's when you're poor, you hate people talking about, you know, money, because, you know, you're like, well, how do you know, right? It's like, you know, if I just had a little bit, then I wouldn't have to suffer so much, you know, that type of thing. But I get that, because I've been in that situation before. I completely understand. And that's why it really, you know, it just hurts me, especially when it comes to things like your basic health, just basic health alone. You know, like there was a joke that says, you know, that teeth are just, what does it say? Teeth are rich people luxury bones, right? They're not covered under anything, right? They're not. So they're rich people luxury bones. It's like, you don't really need them, right? It's like, just things like that. But just not trying to make light of that situation. That's really intense, but it just, it shows you, I mean, that car, yes, it was crazy that you bought it for that reason. Didn't make you happy, but at the same time, man, it could have been the thing that saved your life at that moment too. You know, I mean, it's pretty crazy. And then to have to let it go, it just shows you that it's really nothing to begin with, right? It's a piece of metal. That's all it is. It's a piece of metal that gets you from point A to point B. Yeah. You know, it's really crazy.
Absolutely.
So, Migo, it sounds to me like God was kind of, you know, knocking at your door little by little. Yeah. And then the knocks just got louder and louder and louder until, like, was this car accident the last straw? You were just like, oh my gosh, I need
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't.
And so, like, parang meron pa, kasi I'm like a really stubborn person. And so, like, when it happened, I was like, okay, whatever. I can just make more investments to buy another car. And at this time, like, my ex-girlfriend had already broken up with me. My business had already went down. Tapos, I remember, like, even, like, the laptop I had by that time, which was like the first ever MacBook I had bought ever. It broke down and I was like, why is everything breaking down? And I'm not having like the liquid money to like buy another one. And then finally, because I was already attending like a church that time, my mentor had pressured me to attend the retreat of the church. And so I just signed up for it. I was like, whatever, because I mean, wala namang mawala. I like learning at the same time, so I signed up for the retreat. And the day before the retreat, the phone that I had broke down.
Oh my gosh!
What? And so I had lost my car, my laptop, my phone, my relationship, my business during that retreat. I had literally nothing, and they say it's like a silent retreat. I had no choice. I didn't give up my phone. I didn't have a phone at that time. And so that was the rock bottom moment that I had. It was in a retreat where God literally just took away everything.
Mm. Yeah, because I think I'd be like, okay, God, what are you trying to tell me?
Exactly. Now you have my attention.
So what did he tell you during the retreat?
Well, To repent of my sins and surrender my life to him, because like he had bigger and better plans and what he wanted to do with my life. So parang yun, sometimes we don't understand this when God is calling us. Like we feel most of the time that he's trying to be like a cosmic killjoy, like trying like take away everything from your life and you'll never be happy and you'll just be like a monk in a monastery somewhere and like be boring, but that's not really what he wants to do. So yeah, that was like the biggest leap of faith that I took in my life, because in that retreat, that's when they gave us a choice to surrender our lives to Jesus. And since I had nothing at that time, I was like, I've got nothing to lose. This is the best time to surrender my life to God. And so that's when it happened for me. But, you know, since God knows I'm a very stubborn person. And I remember the night before that retreat, I think it was. So I was bordering depression already at that time because all of these things were being taken away from me. And so the mentor that was bringing me to church, I asked him, what do I do? How do I make back all of this money? How do I regain everything that I lost? And he was like, have you tried surrendering your life to Jesus the night before? Or a couple of nights before we had that conversation, I still remember. And I was like, are you serious? Is that like a thing right now? Like if I surrender my life to Jesus, am I gonna make back the money? And stuff like that. But it was literally the only option that I had during that time. I was like, okay, I trust this mentor of mine. And so I went to bed that night. And I prayed to God, and this is a really embarrassing prayer. I prayed to God, God, I know you're trying to call me to be somewhere in life, and I know that I'm going the wrong direction. So tonight, and this was just in my small room, I surrender my life to you tonight, and I want to make $1 million. And then I slept. And that was, it was like a really embarrassing prayer, but it really came straight from my heart. So I was like, parang, I surrender my life to you and I want to make $1 million. But that was the best sleep I've ever experienced in my life. And when I woke up, even if I had already seemingly lost everything, I just felt really content, at peace, like everything was going to be okay. And then I came into the retreat.
You surrender your life to God in this prayer. Yeah. You go into this retreat, and I'm assuming, you know, because you had lost everything. Mm. What did that look like when you were trying to rebuild things?
You know, it's hard to explain because I really thought that I would be super depressed because I didn't have those things that I bought before or all of these things that I was accustomed to. I thought it would be embarrassing to start to just commute again, ride the jeepney, and then parang like be on budget again, like parang back to basics talaga. And so I thought it would be like embarrassing and all, but during that moment, parang it's nice when you're stripped away of everything. Literally, the only thing that you have is God. For some reason, which is why sometimes when I fast, I experience God's presence more. I was content. And I was genuinely happy and satisfied. So every day was more of like, God, what do you want me to do today? Where do you want me to go? How do you want me to bridge you to other people? And that was one of the best years of my life, if I'm to be completely honest.
But did you still want the $1 million in the bank?
I still wanted the $1 million. I still wanted the $1 million.
But do you still want the $1 million?
I still want the $1 million. But the desire to please God was more than my desire to have like $1 million. Throughout my whole life, it was just to have and make the $1 million. And everything was compromisable in between. But after the retreat, I guess when I surrendered my life to God, the Holy Spirit just did a work in me where he allowed me to have this desire to want to please God more than anything else. But to answer the question, yes, I still do want that $1 million.
Instructor Aaron, is it, and I think maybe this is something that people of the faith kind of struggle with, is like, we know that we're not supposed to be greedy about money. And maybe we feel like sometimes it's wrong to even just want money, or, you know, do you know what I mean? I think maybe we're a little conflicted about that. Like, what is right. The proper way to go about this?
Well, I mean, there's people in the Bible that had money and that didn't, mm-hmm. You know, there was people that actually were wealthy that followed, you know, Jesus. There was the one that said, if I've, you know, hurt anybody, I hereby give half my money, right to the church. And if I've wronged anybody, I'll pay him back twice. I mean, he was a very wealthy person at that time. He didn't have to give up, you know, everything at that time. They were, if you look at how they lived, it's really kind of cool how they lived. Actually, the actual Christians at that time, they were just people called the Way, right? The followers of the Way at the time. They weren't even Christians at this time. But in the very beginning of Acts, they would just be together. And nobody was in want, right? They just sold things as they needed it and would give, you know, give what was given to the church. And everybody just lived in that type of a place. So when things needed to be sold, they'd sell land or house or whatever. But there was also people that worked. You have people like Paul. Paul did not want to take anything from the church, right? He says that I don't want to abuse that. It was kind of something, a pride thing for him, if you will. And he was a tent maker. So he made his own living. And he says, there's verses where he says, you know, I've been in plenty and I've had nothing. I found contentment in all situations. You know, there's been times when I've been full and times when I've been hungry, right? Times that I've slept well, times that I've been without sleep. So just as he was, you know, saying, he's found contentment, you know, in that situation. That's the most important thing. It's not whether you're poor or rich, you know, because we know that, of course, people always say it, but we know that money doesn't buy happiness. But when you're poor, there seems to be a lot of problems, you know, I mean, it just goes both ways. You have to be a happy person in general. You really do. You have to, and having God in your life really can fill something that everything else can't, you know, that void that we were talking about. So desiring, you know, to have money just to be able to be comfortable, it's not like an evil thing. I mean, people want comfort. They don't want to be struggling all the time. They don't want to be, as a father, it's kind of scary sometimes, but I trust in God and he's really taking care of us. Like he really, really, he's given us everything that we need. you know, and we've been in many different situations and many different countries. And I just really trust that God will take care of us. Now, does that mean that we never work? Of course not. We work when we need to, you know, we make what we have, but we're not, our desire isn't to become wealthy. Our desire is to be able to function well enough to where I can keep doing the work that I really want to do, which is, you know, spreading God's word and working in the ministry and helping people in their lives. But there's people, like I said before, money is not evil by itself. Money in and of itself is nothing. It's what people do for it. You know, it's the fact that there's never enough. I mean, I can't even fathom what it's like to have billions of dollars. It's just absurd that anybody needs billions of dollars. I mean, I don't get it. Mm. You know, here's the way that they, what is it? It's like mathematically, you have 1 million seconds is like 11 days, right? I think that's what it say. 1 million seconds is like 11 days. 1 billion seconds is like 32 years.
Okay.
Imagine that difference. A million. So if you say you want $1 million and you spend $1 a second, you'd be able to spend it for 11 days. But if you spent $1 a second and you had $1 billion for the next 32 years, you'd be spending, you know what I mean? Like, can you even fathom the difference? I can't. Like, yeah. It's crazy. So your question, I mean, I just don't think it's, as long as you do what he was saying, don't put it as your top priority in life. I mean, God should be number one. Family should be right there with it. You know, money is something that's just a necessity in this world. Unfortunately, it just is. You know, the computer that I'm talking to you on, the lights that I have in this house, I mean, everything costs money. It's not like they're going to give it to me for free. So even the work of God, we need money to be able to function, because you need a building for people to actually be a part of. There's, you know, whether or not you're going to be keeping the place clean, having lights, food, whatever it is. So you can volunteer as much as possible. Most of the events that we do inside of Shinchenji is 100% volunteer. So these monster events that we have, yes, you have to probably rent out the venue, because they're not going to give it to you for free, right? And of course, the electricity and things of that nature. But all the people that work there, all the effort that's put in, it's 100% volunteer. Like, we don't get paid for any of the work that we're doing, because we're building our treasures in heaven, if you will, right? We're doing the, you know, the work of God. So it's a hard thing. I can't answer for each individual person. Yeah. I can answer for myself and where I was and what I am now. But I think that's something that each person really has to struggle with.
I guess I ask that question to Instructor Aaron, because I think when we look in the Bible, and this was one of the first verses that any Christian friend of mine gave to me as I was coming to the faith, right? She passed on to me Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, which is, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything will be added onto you. And I think I always thought, like, okay, and that could be anything. It's money, or, you know, relationships, or whatever it is that you desire in this world. I think that teaching is about, well, if you put God first and try to seek the things that are of God, these physical things will follow, because of course God is the creator. He can provide all of these things for you, right? And that was the very first verse where I was just like, oh, this is, I like this, you know, like super early in my faith. But yeah, I also find that maybe some Christians maybe struggle with that. Like, is it wrong because I want to be comfortable? Is it wrong because I want to make more money? You know, that kind of thing.
Well, I think if it takes you away from God, yes.
Yeah.
That's where I'd make a dividing line in myself. And when I try to help, you know, students that I'm teaching or others in their life of faith, I ask that question a lot. Is what you're doing going to make you turn more towards God and be able to function more with God and do more for God? Or is it going to do the opposite? Mm. So for myself, I have to ask myself that question quite often, because of the position that I'm in. I have a very, you know, high responsibility because of the knowledge that I have to continue to be able to teach this word as much as possible. But if I decide to do other things because I want to be comfortable, or because I want to take care of my family in this way or the other, is it taking away my responsibility for what I know I need to be doing? Right. So when someone asked me, like, let's say they're in like the studies that we're doing, right? And it's going on for a few months. And in the middle of it, like, my friend used to have a joke. He would say, you know, in the beginning of class, he'd always tell the students, if you don't have a good job, right? If you don't have a relationship, right? If you don't have a lot of hobbies, just start studying God's word and Satan will give you the rest. Because he wants to do whatever he can to take you away from the word.
Oh, that right. That's
why
hilarious.
The four fields is so important, right? The four fields is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And the third field is the thorny field. And it's the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of wealth causes a person to be unfruitful. Mm. So the worries of the world. So if your worry of the world is taking you away from God, that's bad. Mm. You know, that's bad. If your deceit, the deceitfulness of wealth, if it's more important for you to be wealthy, then you're not going to be able to be that good field that produces fruit, right? For right. God. So right. That's where I always tell people, you have to ask, because there'll be people that will ask me, oh, I just got a promotion, you know, offered to me in my job, but it means I'm going to have to stop the studies. And I'm like, well, there you go. I mean, to me, the answer is clear, but it's up to you. Is this taking you to God or away from God? Do you think God would put that in your life to take you away from the word? Why would he do that?
Exactly.
Why would God give you a blessing that's going to take you away from learning his truth at the most crucial moment? Mm. Why would God do that? Mm. And then let them decide. I'll never tell anybody what to do. I'll just tell them, you know, from my perspective, from my point of view, knowing what time that we're living in, knowing that God is fulfilling his kingdom, knowing that now is the time that we have to be closer to God and know God more than at any other time in history. Why would God do anything in your life to take you away from that? But there is an entity in this world that has a lot of control and has very clearly been in control of those types of things for a long time and can offer those things to people all the time, you know, and he doesn't do it in that really, you know, Hollywood crazy way where you're, you know, signing away your life or anything. He does it in a very, very simplistic way, right? He snatches
the seed.
He's a suave
one.
Yeah. What's that? Yeah.
He's a very suave operator.
He's not a fool. It's the craftiest of all the creatures the Lord God had made is what it says, right? I mean, he's good at his work. So we have to be better. That's why it says you have to be diligent. You have to be, it says you have to persevere, right? Only those that persevere are the ones that actually are able to receive the blessings is what it says. So everyone's going to go through their own struggles and it may not be money. Some people don't care about money at all. It could be other things.
Yep.
I just want to piggyback off what Instructor Aaron said. Like I remember a pastor saying once that if God knew that a red Ferrari would bring you closer to him and you would be able to use it to spread his word, you would have a red Ferrari right now. That really hit me. It was like, and it's funny because when that was said, I was thinking of ways of how I could actually use the red Ferrari for God's kingdom. But I was like, nope, it's just going to build my pride.
My God, I swear I'll use it. I swear. Yeah.
And on a funny note too, like my LTE hotspot password is Matthew 6:33. So,
oh my gosh,
it became my life verse during that season in my life where God was really trying to hone me and sanctify me to just really be content. And so, you know, it works well as a Wi-Fi password. It's just pretty awkward when someone who's non-Christian and doesn't know the Bible asks me what my password is, and I say, it's Matthew 6:33. And he's like, Matthew. but anyway, as to the debt, like I would say I've been able to properly finance all of it. I'd say like parang it's 80% paid. And for the remaining, I'm way ahead of my payments. Like I just wanted to make it like staggered, and this is all by God's grace. I just wanted to make it staggered para I could grow a margin that I could save and I could invest to continue safely invest to grow the money. And so the friends na I asked to invest money to me, I was able to pay off most of them, and I was even able to pay off like more than what they have invested. Kasi parang not in my heart to give them a bit more because of the hassle that I caused. But God really also worked through that time. Kasi I was just really praying. I was like, okay, I'm going to be completely honest with everyone who invested money to me. And I was just really praying to God. And I hope these people understand. And I will totally understand if they like flip the tables and get mad. But none of them did. All of them were gracious and they were just really patient. So I really praise God for that as well. The business that I had during that time, which was my main business, which was the network marketing business, couple of years after, God grew it 20-fold.
Wow.
Yeah. And like, it was so unimaginable, like, when it started growing. Kasi I really never, like, even parang expected that God would do it during that time. And I was just so, you know, I just really felt God's love. And that's kind of like how God works. Sometimes he does things that you don't understand. And when the moment comes where he's going to show you, this is what I planned for you, that's when you realize that he's just been protecting you all along. Because sometimes the things that we want end up breaking us if we get it a little bit earlier, right? So, yeah, I mean, so the business that the network marketing business, since it has to deal a lot with mentorship and helping other people holistically change their life, we built a Bible study around that network marketing business of mine. We have a network marketing ministry where we have online Bible studies every Wednesday, and sometimes we get speakers to preach there from outside. We have breakouts, we have facilitation, and then we link them to have like these small groups afterwards so that they can continue their faith journey. And so we just praise God. I mean, it started like with just 12 people online. By God's grace, has grown like at its peak to over 100 people like every Wednesday. And we're just really grateful that God is using us to do that kind of work. And so now the challenge is, now that things are prospering again, if you could call it that, is to make sure that your head and your heart is planted in God's word. Because one of my mentors would say, 90% of people survive poverty, but only 10% survive prosperity. Because when you start prospering, there's also a set of temptations that's different from when you don't have those resources. Mm-hmm. And so that's our biggest prayer right now. And so, yeah.
Wow. So you made quite the comeback.
And God made the comeback. I was just like participating, and it was like, and sometimes I still can't believe like we are where we are right now, but God is good.
First of all, you have I was going to say the word, but never mind.
What? You have the what?
You have that, you know what, to talk to these people you owed money to.
Oh.
You know, when most people wouldn't, most people would just like find every reason on this planet, or maybe try to fall off the face of the planet, you know, pretend they're not around. But good thing you did that. I think God, that's what God wanted maybe for you to do, is, hey, stick around. I have better plans for you, but you know, do exactly. It anyway. Yeah,
like just to add, like he grew me so much throughout the process. Like it was a 3-4 year process where I was like being pruned in that way. And like one of the things that was initially difficult for me to do while I was trying to pay off my debt was also tithe. But one of my spiritual mentors said, like, he was like, okay, the first step for us to get out of debt is for you to tithe. I was like, what? To get out of debt, I have to give more money to the church? But like not in a way where he was soliciting finances, but he was like, you want to please the Lord, so we will build you up again in these scriptural principles. And I was like, okay, I trust God. And so he made me study, sermons on tithing, Malachi, and all these other books. And then so I kept tithing, and it's so interesting that whenever I would feel like during those moments, like when I tithe, God, I'm really not sure if I'm going to last the month if I tithe this much amount of money. And whenever I tithe, something supernatural happens. It was either like the money that I tithe, the next day I would earn a profit that is exactly the amount that I tithe, or it would come out, it would come back at times multiplied. I'm not saying this is a guarantee for anyone who tithes, but that's just how God worked through me tithing. And so it really built up my faith, and it really helped me to be content knowing that whatever money that I make, the first portion is really God's. It's not my money, it's his money. And so that's part of what God really brought me through during that time. And yeah, part of it was talking to the people that I owed money to. That was the most difficult thing that I've done in my life at that point. Because that's like you stepping down on your ego and allowing the world to just crush your pride, because these people who initially thought you were the most successful among all of them starts to say that I did bad in our investments and I'm into a lot of debt and I'm not going to be able to pay you until the next few years. But this is my guarantee. This is how much I'm making and this is the amount that I can commit to on a monthly basis. And this is my projected income over the years if my business continues to grow. But for now, this is what I can pay. So I can't do anything at this moment to multiply that. And I don't want to because I want to make sure that I am able to pay you properly. And so my spiritual mentor helped me do that. We even rehearsed our speech together when I was trying to, you know, kind of picture how I would talk to my friends.
Wow.
And yeah, so I talked to a good number of them because there were a lot.
No, I think that was that really does say a lot about you to have, you know, faced them and just given to them straight and committing to, you know, a payment scheme. Yeah, that's what I was going to say
as far as like when it comes to you as a person, it shows a lot.
Right.
And the fact that you were, you know, willing to even go above and beyond. I think that's, if you're this type of person, even before that happened, is why your friends actually were willing to stick with you and to trust you in that too. I mean, it just, you just seemed like a genuine type of person that was just trying to do the best and thought you had, you know, like you said, the Midas touch at the time and wanted to help others to experience what you were going through and give them something as well. And it just wasn't the right time at that moment. And like you said, God was definitely teaching a pretty heavy-handed lesson at that moment, you know, but
Yeah,
I mean, if it makes you a better person in the end, right?
It does. And like all glory to God, I just really feel that that's the thing with biblical principles. Sometimes it really makes you stretch yourself, but ultimately, like, it's there for a reason. And if we follow it, we can, even if we like don't have the tangible material blessing right away, we kind of feel that as long as we follow whatever is written on the Bible, God has promises over those things that he has written. And so that was where my confidence was at that time. And it wasn't easy. Even now I cringe thinking about the conversations I had with my friends, but by God's grace and through the Holy Spirit, I was able to do it.
Oh, wow, amigo. No, that is amazing.
I want to say congratulations. That's amazing. Your story is beautiful.
Listening to Migo's story, because I also had a similar experience in that I really had to hit rock bottom in a certain aspect of my life. And I just realized this is not humanly possible, like for me to fix it. I need a higher being to come save me from this, right? And I think in that sense, our stories are similar. And I think, you know, with the whole money thing or just material wealth and blessings and stuff like that, I think we're so quick to label these things blessings, right? Whether it's a promotion or a new business or, you know, oh, we're so hashtag blessed, right? But I think one way to really discern whether these things are coming from God or it's the enemy that is maybe trying to distract you from something, I think that's a really good way to gauge that. Like, what is going to be the consequence of this thing, having this thing in my life? Is it going to have me draw closer to God or is it going to get me farther away from him? And I think that's a really good way for us to judge whether something is indeed a blessing or not. And personally, for me, in my experience, you know, this whole God provides thing has been so real for me. And I find it funny that he doesn't give it to you all in one go. Like, here, Sam, have a bazillion dollars. It's yours. Because if he does that, then I'm not gonna turn to him anymore. Like, I'm good. You know, I'm cush. I'm comfy. Like, I don't need God. But I think what God does, you know, the way I see in my life is he will give me enough to just sustain me and still have me know that he sees what I need. He's there to give it to me. And it's just going to continue on like this. And I'm okay with that, you know? So yeah, those were the things that I was thinking about listening to you sharing with us your story today. And, you know, again, I'm sure it wasn't easy to talk about some of these things, you know, cringeworthy conversations and memories. And I appreciate you so much coming here and opening up about it and being so honest. Instructor Aaron, last words.
Yeah. Well, one of the, you made me think about a verse in Proverbs that says, you know, don't give me so much that I forget about you, or you know, so poor that I you know, turn around and steal. It's just a really, I've always loved that verse.
It's in the Bible.
Wait, what is it? No. Proverbs what?
It's in Proverbs 30. It's in Proverbs. I'm pretty sure it's 30 or 31. I'd have to look. Sure, but I'm pretty sure it's 30. But it always is one of those that really just hits me whenever I read it, and it, you know, makes me feel like that. That's and perfect. The thing about, you know, of course, where I'm coming from, you know, what I believe and what I know, what I'm a part of, things have changed. Obviously, it's a different era in my, you know, in my world, if you will. For the last, you know, 2000 years living as a Christian, you could just live as a Christian by wanting to be close to God. And then you live the rest of your life as your normal, just a life. You make money, you have a family, you know, live your life. It's just the way that it is. What's happening at this point now, you know, it makes me realize that all the things that we're talking about, it makes me really, truly realize how much things have changed in my life from before knowing this truth to after. And once I learned what this actual truth is teaching and what time that we're living in, everything, you know, changes. Everything. It doesn't, nothing means the same anymore. So even that verse, Matthew 6:33, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. That's the most important part of it. Knowing that at a certain, like, particular time, how do you do that? How do you find God's kingdom and his righteousness, right? How do you find it? If it's not there, you can't find it. Right? It has to, it's only when it's available. That's what it says in like Isaiah 45, seek God while he can be found. You know, like it's only when he's available that you can actually, that's when that verse becomes like living and active, if you will. And so finding where God's kingdom is being created, finding what he's doing, and then realizing that if this is the time when God's kingdom is being created, then money and things of this nature, power, authority, you know, fame, fortune, all those things absolutely mean nothing, like beyond nothing. They mean zero, because when God actually fulfills his work, all of that is fleeting, right? Mm-hmm. It's all just mortal. Everything else that you're talking about, like the real blessing that he's going to give you, he will, when it says, you know, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and the rest will be given. The rest that is given is salvation and eternal life. Wow. There's nothing greater than that, right? And no amount of money is going to buy that. Right? You can't buy, you can have the whole universe. You could own the entire universe and you can't buy, you know, that salvation from God. It's really crazy. So,
yeah.
So I just really want to say thank you, you know, Migo, for all the, like, everything you're going through. It just really, it's very interesting to hear, you know, how God actually really moves people in their life. It really is. It's really amazing.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And I think what Instructor Aaron was touching on in, you know, those last parts of what he was saying, we are bringing Migo with us to the next episode. We're doing an episode of Road to Revelation. So we're going to discuss a parable with him. And Migo is into eschatology and all that good stuff. So this is going to be an interesting conversation. So please check us out on the next episode. Right now, though, please go and check out Ignite Podcast. This is on Facebook. This is the one that Migo founded. He's also on Instagram at migo.ibanez, where he also uploads just, like, you know, really interesting, helpful videos where he gives tips on many different things. So go add him up, follow him. And then Instructor Aaron is also on YouTube. His channel is called Healing Leaves. You can check him out there. Tina does a podcast about dogs with dog coach Francis, the dog behind the human.
And I had Sam on my last episode, you guys. So check it out.
And I really enjoyed it. I mean, seriously, I found it so interesting and fascinating. So thank you for having me. Yeah. And yeah, check all that good stuff out, the details.
You were the first guest that who does not have a dog, actually. And it was interesting that she actually had a good time.
Trailblazer right here. Okay. All the details are in the show description. So we'll see you on the next episode. Thank you. Bye.